has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth. And here Acts chapter 2, it happened. It happened. God kept his word that he promised 800 years before that the Holy Spirit would come. And the church was born. Today is the church's birthday. That is the best way to think. We should have a birthday cake for it. But seriously, today is the birthday of the church. And yet, as we remember this day, I think it's important that we also reflect. And we need to ask ourselves, what kind of church did the Holy Spirit create? And is that still the church that we see today? Have we preserved that Pentecostal fire, or have we traded it in for a smoke of compromise? In other words, has the Spirit-filled church remained faithful to this, to the Bible, or has the church been hijacked by the world? So this morning, we're not only going to remember the power of Pentecost, we're going to examine what it means for us today. What it means to be a church that in many ways seems to be adrift. But it's not only that, we're going to ask the Lord to do again what only the Lord can do, to revive his people by his Spirit. Because friends, I have to be honest with you. My heart just aches at the condition of the church. Now, you may not see it because the only church you get is this church. But I see it. You know, when you're watching TV at nighttime, and I'm not saying this to say I'm better than you or I'm more holy than you or anything like that. I'm addicted to church services. Okay, this is what I'm saying. Well, you're watching The Bachelor or Survivor or whatever TV junk you watch at nighttime, because that's all that's on TV now. You know what I'm watching? You can ask Paula. I'm on YouTube watching church services because I want to know what's going on in this country. And it is shocking, shocking what the church has begun. You may not see it, but I'm here to tell you the church has lost its way. You should see some of the stuff that's being taught in our churches today. It just boggles the mind. So my heart aches over the church. You know, there's no easy way to say it. The church in the West, and I'm talking the West, I'm talking United States, Canada, I'm talking Europe, it is in a tragic decline. And I'm just not talking about numbers. I'm talking about faithfulness. The church that began in fire now seems to be choking in compromise. A body that was once guided by this has now been hijacked by the culture of the world. What was once defined as orthodoxy is now plagued by heresy. The very house of God is being infiltrated by those who have abandoned the God of the house. The church today is under siege. And this attack is not coming from the outside. Okay, we think the church is being attacked by the agnostics and the atheists. No, that's not what we're talking about. The attack is coming from within. We're talking about progressive false teachers who have crept into our pulpits and who have crept into our seminaries. And they are spreading a gospel that bears little resemblance to the one that was delivered 2,000 years ago at Pentecost. Now, should we be surprised by that? Absolutely not. I'm not surprised by this. Look at what it says in Jude chapter 1, verse 4. Jude warned us of this. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into sensuality and deny our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. You know what all denominations have in common? They all have false teachers in them. These false teachers are in every denomination. They deny the sufficiency of Scripture. They deny that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They minimize sin. They avoid repentance at all costs. We're never going to talk about repentance in the church. And they turn the pulpit into a platform of self-help sermons. They are not shepherds feeding the flock. They are, as Charles Spurgeon once said, clowns entertaining the goats. And I think that's a pretty good description of a lot of churches today. The ministers are a bunch of clowns entertaining a bunch of unsaved people. But again, should we be surprised by this? No. Scripture warned us of this. It's just here now. I mean, what does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4? What did Apostle Paul write Timothy? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Talking about churches. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside the myths. Why do you think Joel Osteen has 50,000 people that come to his church every week? Because the Bible's true. Because he tickles their ears. Friends, the time is here. Entire denominations have embraced doctrines that are totally foreign to this. Totally foreign to Scripture. Churches now affirm what God calls sin. For instance, the biblical roles of men and women have been totally discarded in favor of what's happening in the culture. The blood of Jesus Christ is no longer preached as the only means of salvation. And Christ himself, oh my goodness, he has been reduced to nothing more than a moral example instead of a sovereign savior. How far have we fallen as a church? And how great is our need for a new reformation? And I'm not talking about a new Martin Luther. I'm talking about a return to the Reformation, a return to the Scripture, a return to the centrality of Christ, a return to the Holy Spirit, a return to the fire of Pentecost. So all I'm doing today is I'm here to sound the alarm. Not with one that doesn't have any hope, but one that has a burden. Because I'm telling you, my heart is broken in what the church has become. What the church has become. We need to return to our roots. We need to bring the church back to this. To the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to bring it back to the Scriptures. Back to Christ. And friends, I'm here to tell you, we're not going to get there by having a new strategy or a new style. The answer is a renewed commitment to the old truth. I belong to a denomination. We're a part of the American Baptist denomination. And our region is APCOPED. This will probably get me in trouble because somebody will probably see it on the internet, but oh well, I'm going to tell the truth. We belong to APCOPED. Every year they have a biennial where the ministers get together and they have conferences and stuff like that. I haven't been to one for years because the church pays me to go to it, and I'm not wasting the church's money anymore because all they do at those meetings is come up with a new strategy in how to grow the church. And guess what? They don't talk about the Bible. They bring in business people pretty much. that have, oh, if we do it this way, if we do it that way, why don't we go back to the Word?
Amen.
And then they ask me, how come you don't come? Well, once you get back to the Word, I'll come.
Amen.
Yeah, even our association, Epcopat, has lost its way in many ways. We've fallen. Again, we need to go back to where it all began. And that's with the Word of God. You know, there was a time when we Baptists, we anchored ourselves to something called sola scriptura, scripture alone. We actually used to believe passages of scripture like Psalm chapter 119, verse 160, that says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments is everlasting. We used to believe that. The ministers behind the pulpit, they need to repent. They need to open their Bible, and they need to start preaching the Word of God. And when I say the Word of God, friends, I'm talking about the Old and the New Testament. Let me give you an example of a very famous pastor by the name of Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley is the son of the late Charles Stanley. Many of you have probably listened to Charles Stanley. Andy is the founder and senior pastor of North Point Community Church, a non-denominational megachurch located in the suburb of Atlanta, Georgia. This church has a weekly attendance of approximately, get this, 43,000 people a week at 8 different locations. Him and Joel Osteen have the biggest churches in the United States of America. And him and Joel Osteen are very progressive ministers. Now, I am not here to slam Andy Stanley. I'm not here to pick on Andy Stanley. I'm not here to judge Andy Stanley. I'm going to let Andy Stanley's words judge him. Okay, that's all I'm going to do. I am just going to put four quotes that Andy Stanley, and why am I bringing up Andy Stanley? 43,000 people a week come to his church. That's not counting the people that are watching him on the internet, that are buying his books, that all this other stuff. This guy has so much influence in this country. It's crazy. He is America's pastor in many ways. And all I'm doing is I'm going to show you four quotes that he has given in the past year or so about the authority of the Bible, and you make up your... You come up with your opinion on what type of minister he is. Quote number one, Peter, James, Paul, elected to unhitch the Christian faith from their Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament. And my friends, we must as well unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. Quote number two, appealing to Scripture to establish the authority of Scripture is a losing game. That's why I never use the Bible says as a starting point. These are his words. Not making it up. I'm letting you judge him by his words. Quote number three. Christianity does not exist because of the Bible. The Bible exists because of Christianity. Now, this one's personal. This one is personal. Quote number four. Guys that preach verse by verse through the books of the Bible, me, that's just cheating. It's cheating because that would be easy, first of all. That isn't how you grow people. I'm not going to make any comments or anything like that. Those are his words. I used to listen and read Andy Stanley. I taught classes that Andy Stanley have written in this church. I don't listen to Andy Stanley anymore. I don't buy any of his books. I don't listen to his messages. Now, while he has never come out and explicitly said the Bible doesn't matter, his language and overall approach have deeply concerned many, many people. It's becoming very clear that Andy Stanley is drifting away from the historic Christian belief that the Bible should be at the center of everything we teach and we believe.
Amen.
I mean, the way he talks about unhitching from the Old Testament, avoiding the phrase "the Bible says," that's all Billy Graham ever said. That was what Billy Graham all the time said. The Bible says. And he downplays the importance of Scripture in preaching and evangelism. It all shows a shift. He has shifted. He seems more interested in staying relevant to the culture than staying true to what the Bible actually says. And friends, that is a dangerous path for any teacher of God's word. I don't know what he does with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I guess you just ignore it. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. Friends, this word of God is not seasonal. It's not seasonal. It's not subject to what the culture says. It's truth, it's power, and it's the only thing that gives you life. And that's why we need to restore ourselves to the preaching of this.
Amen.
Word by word. I'm sorry, it's not cheating. Mm-hmm. It's not cheating. This is how you grow people. Mm-hmm. This.
Amen.
We have too many ministers today who are preaching in the power of the flesh. And I'm sorry, that's just not going to cut it. Clever words. Oh, emotional stories, getting you crying, getting your emotions moving. Motivational speeches. I've heard some great motivational speeches. Oh, Joel Osteen's a good motivational speaker. He gets you fired up. Yeah, you walk out of his church feeling good about yourself. He's a motivational speaker. That'll stir the mind for a moment. But that kind of stuff doesn't resurrect the soul. Friends, we don't need TED Talks from the pulpit. We need "Thus saith the Lord" from the pulpit.
Amen.
Hey, if I want to hear a story, you know what I'm going to do? I'll go turn on Netflix and I'll watch a story. Mm-hmm. I'll turn on Netflix. If I want to be entertained, my goodness, I'll go on YouTube. There's all kinds of things to be entertained on YouTube. I'll watch cat videos all day. But when I walk into the church, don't you want to hear from heaven?
Amen.
Don't you want to hear from the word that cuts, that convicts, that corrects, and restores?
Amen.
Don't you want to hear the word preached and not just persuasive words of human wisdom?
Amen.
But you want to hear the word of God. Because that's where there's power. The sad truth is, much of the modern church has become this. You want a picture of the modern church in the United States of America? That's the church. I'm sorry, that's the church. Nothing but dry bones. We have programs without prayer. We have lights without light. Music without any meaning, and preaching without any power because they're not preaching the word of God. We have structures but no spirit. We have songs but no substance. Oh, we have crowds but no conviction. We're organized but there's no anointing. You want a really good picture of the church today? Go home and read Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, read that. That's a picture of the church today. Now, we need to be careful here. Let me give you a warning. Because we always need to keep the Bible in its proper context. Okay, we should never take the Bible out of its context. Ezekiel chapter 37 is not a direct prophecy about the church. It is not talking about the church. Ezekiel is speaking about the nation of Israel. And in that vision, God shows Ezekiel a valley of dry bones, lifeless, scattered, hopeless. And those bones represent the physical and spiritual condition of the nation of Israel when it was exiled in Babylon. And when God told Ezekiel to preach or to prophesy over those bones, it was a picture of him restoring and reviving his covenant people, Israel. That's the context. The context is Israel. But I think you would agree with me, the principle is timeless. And what's the principle? Dead things will only come to life when God speaks and his Holy Spirit moves. That's the only time things are going to come alive. That was not only true in Ezekiel's day, that's true today. You see, Ezekiel didn't bring the bones to life with clever ideas, a new program, a new way to grow the church, a new way to reach Israel. He didn't bring the bones back to life with an emotional manipulation, hitting your emotions, getting you all emotion so you make a decision. No, what did he do? He prophesied. He spoke the word of God. And when the word of God went forth, the Spirit moved and death gave over to life. That's not happening in the church today. Just like Israel in exile, the church today has become lifeless. Our churches seem to be full of motion without life and sound without spirit. But friends, the God who breathed life into the dry bones, the same Spirit who came at Pentecost with power and purity, he's still able to revive his people today. And let me tell you something, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's not coming for performance. He's coming for purity. He's not coming for hype. He's coming for holiness. He's not coming to entertain you. He's coming to empower you. He doesn't come to make you raise your hands and shout. No, he comes to make you shine in a light, as a light in a very dark world. We don't need better communicators. We don't need people who can tell a good story. We don't need comedians behind the pulpit. We need spirit-filled preachers.
Amen.
We need men who still tremble at the word of God. Men who just don't speak for God, but men who have heard from God. Men who have been gripped by the gospel and set on fire by the Holy Spirit. That's what the church needs today. Amen. What we need more than anything is we need that breath from heaven. Because without the breath of God, we're just a bunch of dry bones with clothes on. Bunch of dead churches that have some fancy buildings. Hollow sermons echoing empty hearts. But friends, I'm telling you, when the wind of God blows, the dead will come alive, hearts will be changed, sinners will be saved, and the church will be revived.
Amen.
So may God raise up a new generation of preachers. That's what our prayer should be. Our prayer should be that God would raise up a new generation of preachers who will not depend on their own strength, who won't try to impress people because of their jokes or their personalities. who will not trade the power of the Holy Spirit for people's praise, but who will stand up and say, come, Holy Spirit, breathe on these dry bones so that they can live again.
Amen.
You know, when you look at the state of the church today, it's hard to deny that it does resemble a valley of dry bones. A faith that is shallow, preaching that lacks power, and boy, have we compromised with the world. And friends, that shouldn't be. Instead, it should drive us to our knees in prayer and repentance. And I guess that brings us to the question, what do you do? What is the church to do? Well, first, we need to repent. And I'm not talking about just feeling bad or saying I'm sorry, repenting. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about turning away from our sin. We need to fall on our faces before a holy God and confess that we have allowed compromise to come into his church. That we, the church, have tolerated what we should have rejected. That we are entertaining what should be cast out of the church. Friends, judgment doesn't begin with the world. You know where judgment begins? In the church. We think revival is for those people out there, the heathens. That's not revival. Revival starts in a church. In a church. Until we deal with our own hearts, we can never expect revival in the land. Here's another thing. Churches don't speak on repentance. You don't hear repentance anymore. You know why? Because it's a dirty word. That gets ministers fired in a lot of churches. I don't want to talk about repentance. Well, friends, I'm sorry. Repentance isn't optional. Repentance is the starting point. Somebody asked me one time, why do you preach so much on repentance? I preach a lot on repentance because I preach verse by verse through the Bible. And this thing is loaded with repentance. The Bible says repent. What were Jesus' first words in Mark? Repent. That was Jesus' first words in his public ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We need to repent. Secondly, how about we pray? Wouldn't that be a novel idea in a church? And friends, I'm not talking about these casual, sleepy prayers. The kind that we mumble before a meal or we whisper out of routine at bedtime. I'm not talking about that prayer. How about we cry out to God in desperation? How about we pray like our lives depend on it? Because guess what? They do. How about we ask God for a true revival? Not one fueled by noise and emotion and empty with power. How about we stop trying to seek a spectacle and instead look for sanctification in the church? Stop asking for hype. Instead, ask for holiness. Instead of shallow excitement, we're asking for a fire that purifies. And friends, make no mistake about it. Revival does not come through careful planning. It comes through pleading, prayer. That's the only way revival comes through, is through prayer. Thirdly, how about we become faithful in our walk? And I'm talking about faithfulness in the small things, when no one's watching. When there's no applause, when it's just easier to compromise. I'm talking about being faithful in our homes, leading our families in the fear of the Lord. Husbands need to get back to being the leaders of their home. Husbands have been called. Fathers have been called to be the spiritual leaders of their home, leading their wives in prayer. They're the ones that should be going over to the wife and saying, "Are we ready to go to church?" They're the ones that should take the lead. But the women also have a responsibility. You need to allow your husband to be the head of the house. You can see fault on both sides. Husbands don't want to take the role, and wives don't want them to have the role. We need to get faithful in our homes. We need to be faithful in our churches, standing with those ministers who boldly preach the truth, even when it's unpopular. Those are the ministers. Those type of ministers are getting fired from churches. Being faithful in our doctrine, clinging to sound teaching rather than chasing the latest trends that every denomination seems to be chasing. Being faithful in our witness, shining a light in a dark world, breaking the truth in love and living lives that reflect the gospel that we proclaim. How about being faithful in raising our children to know the Lord? How about we do that? Not to just go to church, but to be the church. How about we get back to teaching our children the gospel? Showing them what real holiness looks like. To let them see that Jesus is so special to you more than anything in the world. Too many parents today are outsourcing their children's spiritual development to the culture. Parents need to bring their children to church. Don't let ball games, sleepovers, or screen time take the place of the culture. I've heard way too many parents of teenagers tell me, "I can't get my child to come to church. I guess I'm really old school," but you know what the first thing comes into my mind is? Who in the world is the parent? You still have some power as a parent. Friends, you need your children to see that gathering with God's people is not only optional, but it is essential. And parents and grandparents, I'm going to speak to grandparents because we're pretty much more grandparents here in this crowd. You need to realize that your children's hearts, they are shaped by what you prioritize. Your children's hearts are shaped by what you prioritize. You don't prioritize the church, they're not going to prioritize the church. You're not going to prioritize this, they're not going to prioritize that. Let your children and grandchildren see that Christ is worthy of their time, their energy, and their devotions. Now is not the time to play church, now is the time to be the church. And finally, we must preach Christ. Not self-help, not politics, not empty promises. We must preach Christ and Christ crucified. Friends, let us never forget that the fire that fell on Pentecost was not for a show. God wasn't showing off, saying, "Look at what I can do here." No, he did it for the gospel. And Peter didn't start a concert or a conference, did he? No. Peter stood up and preached Jesus crucified, risen, and exalted. And what happened? 3,000 people come to know the Lord that day.
Amen.
And if you and I want to see that power again, we got to get back to the gospel again. We got to knock this watered down version. Get rid of it. Not a gospel that makes people comfortable in their sin. That's what's being preached today in a church. If I hear the term gay Christian one more time, the rest of this is going to be pulled out.
Amen.
All of this is gone. But if I hear that term one more time in a church, gay Christian, I'm going to pull out the rest of my... What is a gay Christian? That animal does not exist. Now, that'll get me fired in some churches if I say that. Not in this church, but it'll get me fired in some churches saying that. We're making people comfortable in their sin. You know what the true gospel does? Call sinners to repent. Sinners to believe. A true gospel that offers real hope. It offers real forgiveness and a real transformation through Jesus Christ. I don't care what these progressive ministers are teaching today. The Holy Spirit who came in wind and flame on that first Pentecost, it has not changed.
Amen.
God's word has never changed. The gospel message has never changed. The only thing that has changed is our culture to the worst. We're the ones that must change. But they're wanting this to change to match up with our culture today. That's just backwards. Our culture should change to match up to this. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be the light in the darkness. But what are we doing? We're hiding our light. We're blending in when God calls us to stand out. We're compromising our witness so we can make other people comfortable. Heaven forbid I make someone uncomfortable. Friends, don't bow down to a culture when you've been called to carry the cross. God. Gracious, don't let fear silence your faith. Instead, stand firm, be bold, be holy, and be faithful. Because I'm telling you, the world doesn't need more churches. It needs more churches that are filled with the Spirit of God, and that starts with us. Again, let's stop playing church. Too many people are playing church. They're not being the church. The kind of church that doesn't follow, instead of following the world, it follows Jesus Christ. The kind of church that doesn't stay silent, but speaks truth in what? Love and boldness. I got news for you. I'm not here to impress people. I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to become popular. And believe me, I am not popular. I'm here to lead you back to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because that's my job. That's my job as a minister. To preach this.
Amen.
To preach this. To feed you. To protect you. And to love you the best I can. We're not here to impress people. We're here to lead them to Christ. And guys, that's not going to happen through programs. That's not going to happen through my bubbling personality. It's only going to happen when we preach this.
Amen.
When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we live it out every day. And we're willing to stand for it no matter the cost. Pentecost wasn't something that just happened a long, 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 long time ago. It's something that's still going on today. And that is, God is using ordinary people to do some extraordinary things through the power of the Holy Spirit. So friends, well, how about we leave here today with a purpose? I don't want you to leave today just stirred. I want you to leave today changed. I don't want you to leave today just filled. I want you to leave today faithful. How about we go out into Ross Draver Township, and how about we show them who Jesus Christ really is?
Amen.
through lives that are bold, holy, and full of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm hoping we'll do. Because that's what a church does. Let's pray.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you today. Not with pride, but with repentance. Father, we have to confess how easily we have all drifted from time to time, including myself. How quickly we have settled for comfort instead of conviction, noise instead of truth, and a shallow religion instead of a deep surrender. So, Father, please forgive us. Have mercy on us. Cleanse us, correct us. Father, bring us back to that narrow path that leads to real life.
Amen.
Father, send us your Holy Spirit, not just to move us, but to actually transform us into being more like Christ. Not just to stir our emotions, but to produce an obedience. Let the wind of your presence drive out our fear, and let the flame of your holiness, may it burn away every idol. Father, we pray more than anything that you would revive your church. Oh, Father, that you would raise up preachers who will not water down your word. That you would raise up people who will not bow to the spirit of this age or to the culture. Oh, Father, make us bold, make us faithful, and make us holy. And Father, may the same Spirit who filled the upper room that day fill this place and fill us until the day that trumpet sounds and our Savior returns.
Amen.
And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you have a decision to make, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ,